Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. And I'm just going to show a contrast here because I just want to explain something before we get into Philippians. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Matthew chapter 6, we'll begin reading in verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body. What ye shall put on, is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, how they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into the barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, take no thought for the morrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So he addresses people who worried about tomorrow. They worried about material things, and he tells us not to worry about the future as far as how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to put food on the table, because God's going to take care of you. But there is also another side of this. There can be joy in looking forward to the future whenever it comes to spiritual things. So go with me to Philippians chapter 3. The title of this message is called The Joy of Looking Forward. The Joy of Looking Forward. And I know y'all are looking forward to that chicken, that turkey and dressing, ain't you? There is joy in looking forward. No need in worrying about the future. Take joy in looking forward. Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things unto you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and having no confidence in the flesh. There was a group of people called the Judaizers in those days, and they were approaching Christians. They were basically Christian Pharisees, I guess. They was approaching Christians and trying to bring Christians back into the bondage of the law. So the first step in having joy and looking forward is stop looking back. Stop looking back in this sense to your old faith. The Judaizers tried to get them to look back to their old faith. Most of these people were probably converted Jews, or at least a percentage of them was converted from Judaism. And so these Judaizers was trying to get them to go back to the Mosaic law, to go back to sacrifices, to get them to go back to the traditions of the law. They tried to bring them back into bondage. Paul also addresses this in Hebrews chapter 10. I believe that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, addressing to the Jews who were tempted to go back. Hebrews chapter 10, we begin reading in verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Those lambs that they offered every year could not make them perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. Because that the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is remembrance again made of sin every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Highlight in that in your Bible. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body that hast thou prepared me. The Lord came down in a body. The Lord Jesus Christ manifested himself in a human body, manifested himself in the flesh. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then saith I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast thou pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. He's taken away the Mosaic covenant and establishing the New Testament, the New Covenant, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Underline this. Once for all. Highlight that. Put a star by it. Highlight it. Whatever you got to do. Once for all. Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, underline forever, forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness for us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of this is, there is no more offering for sin. Underline that. No more offerings for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of by the blood of Jesus. By the new and living way which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. So he's giving them a commandment. He's saying, hold fast, be strong in your faith. Don't go back to Judaism. Don't fall for what the Judaizers are saying. Verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assemblings of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but also exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Don't leave the church. Don't go back to your old faith. Don't go back to Judaism. Verse 26, many people take this verse out of context. Verse 26, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. A lot of people will pluck this verse out of its context and say something that it doesn't mean. The sin here is not a general sin that you do. It is a specific sin. For if we sin, the sin of going back to Judaism, he's talking to people who were formerly Jews. The book is Hebrews. if you sin of going back to Judaism willfully after that ye have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Why does he say that? Because Christ was offered one time, never to die again. Never to die again. There remaineth no more sacrifice to sin. And you are wanting to go back to animal sacrifices that you cannot, that cannot take away your sins. Many people called the Arminians try to put that out of its context and say you can lose your salvation. And you can't. You cannot lose your salvation. And they pluck that out of its context and they use it, a verse out of a chapter that condemns people just like them. And so they are pretty much the Judaizers of our day. They try to, you know, in their little church, they'll mention Jesus Christ, and a lot of people will make a profession of faith, and then they take your eyes off Christ and put it back on yourself like it was before you got saved. They run them back to their old self-sufficient religion. Before we got saved, we depended on ourselves to get saved more than likely. A lot of us probably thought, well, if I get to heaven, it's because I'm a good person. No. No. Being a good person will never get you to heaven. And Arminians will try to get you and run you back to your old faith, a self-dependent faith. So the first step in obtaining the joy of looking forward is stop looking back to your old faith. Stop looking back to the pride of your past. My next point. Stop looking back to the pride of your past. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 3. We begin reading in verse 4. Paul's addressing the Judaizers. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof to trust, he might trust in the flesh, I more. He's saying, I was a better Pharisee than y'all. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuted the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gain to me? Those I counted for loss. Lots of times you were probably, before you got saved, you was probably popular in school. Paul was pretty popular with the Pharisees, but that popularity left him whenever he got converted, didn't it? So stop looking back to the pride of your past. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, the love chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Finally, brethren, hang on a sec. I was in 2 Corinthians. I knew that didn't look right. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Hey, there comes a time in life where you got to grow up. There comes a time in your life whenever you got to spit the pacifier out, put your big boy pants on and grow up. Stop living in the pride of your past. And a lot of people today will shame generations below them for how disrespectful they are and say, well, back in my day we had better people. Well, that problem did not fall out of the sky. How many times have you told somebody or called somebody sir or ma'am and they say, don't call me sir, don't call me ma'am? Well, the reason why we have a disrespectful generation of kids is because they were raised by parents who don't want to be called sir, don't want to be called ma'am. They would rather be their kid's best friend rather than being an adult that demands and deserves their respect. And then they wonder why their kids don't respect anybody. They started at home whenever they couldn't respect their parents. and their parents did not demand their respect. They did not want to be called sir. They did not want to be called ma'am. And you got people who are grown-ups who are playing video games still. There's people in their 30s and 40s still playing video games. And Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood a child and thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I'm young. I'm 29 years old. But I will say, and I have a long ways to go as far as wisdom. I have a long, long, long ways to go. I'm only 29. I have a lot. I have yet to gain a lot of wisdom. I have a lot to learn. But 10 years ago, I was 19. And the man that was 19 years old, the person I was, really, I wouldn't even consider myself a man at 19. I was a boy. Thought I knew everything. I was a smart aleck. But the man 10 years ago is a different man that you see today. And I hope to say in 10 years from now, whenever I'm 39, I'll be a much smarter, much wiser man than you see today. It's a time when you got to grow up and stop living in the past. Stop being a kid. It's time to grow up. I saw something on Facebook and, you know, I thought about commenting it and I thought, you know, I might get put in Facebook jail. But, and you know, instead I might, you know, instead of commenting, I would probably just rather preach it to my church. So that was something that somebody put on Facebook. They wanted everybody to feel sorry for them. They said, you know, with Thanksgiving rolling around, it's hard to think about Thanksgiving because of the elderly generation who used to hold our family together. They're no longer here, and so there's nobody here to hold the family together. Well, maybe that's your cue to step up and fill their shoes and you be that person. Spit your pacifier out, put your big boy pants on, and you be that person. You be that elder wise relative that holds your family together. That's right. Bring a bag of potatoes to Thanksgiving. So stop looking back to the pride of your past. Go with me to Proverbs, the book of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 29. I highlighted this in my Bible. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 29. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is their gray head. The Bible calls getting older beautiful. Why? Because there's wisdom that you gained along the years. Wisdom is a beautiful, beautiful thing, and a lot of people are afraid of getting older. But embrace that. Embrace the wisdom that you picked up along those years. The Bible calls it beauty. The steps to having joy and looking forward: stop looking to your past, your old faith. Stop running to the pride of your past. Stop looking to the failures of your past. Go with me to Philippians chapter 8. Excuse me, 3, verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things for loss. All things. Maybe even as past. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. So, he forsook the failures of his past. Do you think that Paul's past probably bothered him? He killed Christians. Probably bothered him a little bit after he got converted. Maybe some of us are lacking joy because we don't have the joy of looking forward because we're too busy stumbling and falling over the failures of our past. You know, whenever I was, I mentioned the first time I preached here that I struggled with depression about a year ago. And after thinking about that, studying my Bible, and really swimming around in the Word and trying to figure out why I was depressed like that, you know, part of it was my past. And a lot of us like to say, well, the devil's bringing up my past. The devil this, the devil that. I think we give the devil a little bit too much credit. You need to start looking at the devil in the mirror that you see in the mirror, and that's the one that's bringing up your past. It may be the devil, but it may be the devil you see in the mirror. Stop living in the failures of your past. Turn with me to Luke chapter 9. Looking back hinders your service. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. And he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus saith unto him, Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but, there's that word but. Whenever you hear the word but, you just discount everything that come before that. But let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, whenever back then they pushed a plow, they put their hands to the plow and pushed it. And if you're looking back pushing a plow, your rows ain't going to be very straight. So it hinders your service for the Lord if you're constantly looking back. So my first point was steps to joy in looking forward. Stop looking back to your old faith, to the pride of your past, and to the failures of your past. My next point is understand where you are now. Understand where you are now. Go with me to Philippians chapter 3. We begin reading in verse 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. At salvation, he justifies us. We are justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that word justified, think about that word justified for a moment. Whenever you are washed in the blood, you are justified. Justified. He sees me just if I'd never sinned. He sees me innocent after I have gone through that blood, that cleansing flow that flowed from Calvary. He sees me innocent. And not only that, it says that we receive righteousness. That word, we don't have our own righteousness, but His righteousness. That is the doctrine of imputed righteousness. The Lord, He lived a sinless, perfect life, something we cannot do. And whenever we get saved, God sees us as righteousness, as righteous, just like He saw His own Son. That is the doctrine of imputed righteousness. Go with me to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. What shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. For if Abraham were, there's that word, justified by works, he hath whereof to glory. I have underlined this in my Bible. But not before God. Abraham's works couldn't justify himself before God. But for what, saith the Scripture, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That is the doctrine of imputed righteousness. Now understand where you are. Now, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. That is highlighted and underlined in my Bible. Understand where you are now. Right now you are justified. Right now you have imputed righteousness on your account. Let's continue reading in Romans chapter 4. Even as David describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. We're blessed because of this, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Based on reading this, if you're saved today, you are blessed. You are blessed. Understand where you are. Understand where you are today. That all those things come at the moment of salvation, the justification and the imputed righteousness. The next point I want to make, the next step to the joy of looking forward, is press forward. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. So, this word apprehended, he wants to apprehend or seize every opportunity that Christ gave him, because Christ has already apprehended or seized him. He does not claim to be perfect. He refuses to look back to the past. He wants to press forward. Look at this next verse. Not as though I had already attained, neither have we. Either we're already perfect, but follow after. He's pressing forward. If that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or perfect, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize, for the high calling of Jesus Christ. This is part of sanctification. Sanctification means set apart. It means set apart. Whenever you get saved, he justifies you and he imputes his righteousness to you. And then sanctification has to do with our setting apart, our state within Christ. Whenever we get saved, we're not perfect. Not one bit. But we try to be and strive for that holiness. We want to strive for holiness. We want to go to church. We want to read our Bible. We want to partake of the graces that he gives us. And that is part of our growth or our sanctification. Go with me to Thessalonians. This kind of explains it a little bit better. Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 12. This is part of our growth. Sanctification has to do with our growth. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as ye do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Let's continue reading into chapter 4. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound, what? More and more. For ye know what commandments we have gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even as your, what's that word? Sanctification. That ye should abstain from fornication, and that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, know how to treat your body. In the sanctification, there's that word again, and honor, not as in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we have also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye do what? Increase more and more. That's part of sanctification. That's part of growth. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So we're called to be sanctified. We're called to be set apart. We're called to grow. Put one foot in front of the other and press forward. That's part of our growth. Seize every opportunity. Be totally sold out. You won't be perfect, but press forward. Press forward. Next part is remove distractions. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 3. Remove distractions. Most of those distractions listed here are people. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have for us as an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Now, it's a good thing to witness to people. Don't misunderstand me. It's a good thing to get involved in your community and witness to lost people and try to be a friend to somebody. But there comes a point in time whenever if they are starting to influence you more than you influence them, it's time to break it off. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. There comes a point whenever you got to separate. If somebody's holding you back, if somebody's keeping you from pressing forward, is keeping you from living a separated, sanctified, holy life. There comes a time when you got to separate. Next step is look forward. Look forward. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. 3:20. For our conversation in this is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This word conversation means your citizenship. You are a citizen of heaven already. For our citizenship or conversation is already in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a joy looking forward to heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that's talking about soul and spirit. Whenever a person dies, his soul and spirit go to heaven, but his body is laid into the grave. But the next verse talks about the rapture. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto a glorious body, according to the workings whereby he is able even to subdue all things. This is referring to the rapture. The rapture is whenever the body that was put into a grave comes up out of the grave and is reunited with soul and spirit, and you will be in the presence of God, body, soul, and spirit. That is whenever you are complete. That is whenever you are in completion and in the presence of God. And those of us who are alive at that moment, we will be caught up, body, soul, and spirit as well. It is a joy looking forward to heaven. It is a joy looking forward to the rapture of the church. It's a joy looking forward to those crowns that Brother Jim talked about this morning. There's a joy looking forward to the incorruptible crown, the crown of righteousness, the soul winner's crown, or the crown of rejoicing, the soul winner's crown, the crown of righteousness, the crown of glory, the crown of life. Those are crowns that we strive for while we're alive, as we strive in sanctification. And I like that chart that Dr. Ed McWilliams put together, because there, you see right there where it says the rapture, right there to the top right, it says the judgment seat of Christ. And I believe that that is where we receive those crowns. He judges us for our service. He judges us for our faithfulness. And we receive those crowns at the judgment seat of Christ. But also, there's going to be people, unfortunately, that come to the judgment seat of Christ with wood, hay, and stubble that will not receive an award. Remember, a couple of weeks ago, I preached on witnessing. And if we don't witness, we will have blood on our hands. If we come to the judgment seat with blood on our hands, we will be saved. We will still go into the kingdom, but we will not get a reward for our faithfulness, or we will not get a reward for that lack of service. So it's a joy to look forward to those crowns. It's a joy to be sanctified and work for those crowns that Brother Jim talked about. That's a joy looking forward to the marriage supper. You know, the world is looking forward to a Thanksgiving dinner, but the church, the bride of Christ, is looking forward to a marriage supper. Go with me to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage supper of the Lamb is come, and His wife, that's you and me, the church, hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And He saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, these things are the true sayings of God. So it is a joy to look forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb. They may have turkey and dressing there. But there is joy in looking forward to everything that is before us. But if you're in here today and you're lost, there is no joy in looking forward, because I'm about to talk about the future of the lost. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them that was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead. That's the lost people. That's the judgment of the lost. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. You mean there's going to be people burning in hell for thousands of years, and they're going to rise up and stand before God one day and be judged again? Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell, those people who've been burning in hell, were judged. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. You mean God will bring people up from heaven, judge them, and send them back to a hotter hell called the lake of fire? Yes. You think that that's cruel and sadistic? No. You know what's cruel and sadistic? Whenever you witness to that, whenever that relative witnesses to you and tells you about the love of Jesus Christ, and you say no. That's cruel and sadistic. Whenever you pass by that road sign on the interstate that says Jesus loves you and died for you, and you say no. Whenever the preacher preaches and you say I'll get saved later, that's cruel. That's sadistic. There was a nail-pierced hand reaching down for you all your life, and you turn that nail-pierced hand away. And one day, if you're lost, you will stand at the great white throne judgment. You say, I may hide, I may run. No, you will stand before. There won't be no show. A lot of people, whenever they don't want to show up to court, they just evade the law and hope that the police don't find them. You won't be a no-show at the great white throne. You will stand before the great white throne judgment. And the verdict will be, guilty. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. I never knew ye. The lost have no joy in looking forward. But to those of us who are saved, to those of us who have been washed in the blood, to those of us who love the sweet name of Jesus, there is joy in looking forward. Amen. There's a place in heaven. There is a marriage supper prepared for you and me. And there are crowns prepared for us if we serve Him. Amen. There is joy in looking forward, but not if you're lost. Father, I gave them the message. And I just pray, Lord, that we may be good ground, that we may bear fruit, live a fruitful life, that we may have the joy of looking forward. Many of us struggle with our past. Many of us struggle with the pride of our past. Many of us often look back. But Lord, help us to not look back. Help us to look forward. Help us to keep our eyes on You. Help us to be faithful in our life. Help us to understand where we are now. And Lord, if there's somebody here that looked at their life, looked at where they are, and they realize that they're lost, I pray, Lord, that if there's one here that does not know You, I pray that today they can come and get saved today. Lord, I just pray that we leave here with joy, leave here with happiness that we have been missing for a long time. And Lord, I just pray that You get all the glory and honor. In Jesus' name, every head bowed and all eyes closed. If you're in here today and you realize that you're lost, I will be sitting on the front row pew. I will be happy to open up a Bible to you and tell you the gospel and give you the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're in here today and you've struggled with your past. You've struggled for a long time with your past. Why don't you come? Give it to the Lord. Get the victory you need. Maybe you're in here and you're saved and you've been struggling with your past. Why don't you give it to the Lord today and leave here fresh and anew? We're about to give an invitation. You mind the Lord.